The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Key Marine Center.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's a good day for a boat ride.
On the boat again. I just can't wait to get on the boat again.
Money, it can buy me a boat. It can buy me an education. It can do a lot of things.
It can.
Can't buy you happiness, but a boat can.
Yeah. A boat and being educated about your boat can make you pretty darn happy.
That's a win-win, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You are listening to Boat Smart. It is a call-in show. You can call or text 850-437-1620. Key Marine is our sponsor today. Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida, located at 5621 Bayer Road here in Pensacola. You can give them a call at 850-492-0487. KeyMarineCenter.com is the website. You can go on there and check out all their specials. You can see what motors and boats they have for sale. So check them out at KeyMarineCenter.com. Also, they have Mercury engines in stock from 40 to 200 horsepower. Key Marine Center is your Yamaha, Mercury, and Suzuki Repower Center. Key Marine specializes in service and repair on all MerCruiser, Mercury, Yamaha, and Suzuki products. And you can also check them out on Facebook. So you can get them checked out. They'll be able to help you. And I tell you what, I think we're week three of summer school, having some fun. We went to Blazer Boats over to this last week, did a tour of Blazer Boats.
Cool.
Had a blast over there. The students learn so much. They get to see boats from the inside out, how they're actually made. And Blazer was so gracious to take their time to let us walk around over there. So we had a good time with that. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit more as the weeks go on. We have a couple of other tours that we got that we're scheduling for the summertime, so we're doing that as well. So we're going to have some fun with that, and we're just having a good time. It's funny, next week we're off school on Wednesday. We have to change our schedule to Friday. I had to tell my students that because I forgot that and didn't see it. And they're like, we're okay. We'll be there Friday, you know? So what students likes to go to summer school? Mine does.
It was almost a punishment when I was in school.
I know. That's what I'm saying, you know. So it's just great over there. We're just having a good time at Georgetown Tech and just enjoying the summer. We have several classes running over there as well. But I want to get to it today because I have a special guest today, and I have Mr. T.J. Rollins with me, and he right now is our principal at Georgetown Technical College for two more weeks, and then he retires. So good morning, Mr. Rollins, and thank you for being on the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
That's right. I'm telling you, it was a surprise to us because you weren't planning on retiring yet, but now you kind of decided to retire.
That's true.
And you're retiring, and we know why you're retiring, because you want to spend time with grandkids and that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely. Time goes by so quickly. The retirement plan was maybe another year to two or three years, but sped that up a little bit when we worked out some finances, and things look really good. So I'm excited about that next chapter, but also really proud of all the great things we've done at Georgetown. And of course, Marine Technologies is just one of those programs that I'm real excited about moving forward as well.
I would like our listeners to know just a little bit of history about before you came to Georgetown and kind of how you transitioned into Georgetown. Just some background as far as where you started and how you got over to Georgetown.
Well, going way back out of high school, like a lot of our students that come to us, I went a traditional direction of going to a junior college at that time. Got into a CTE field doing ultrasound for a couple of years in the hospital area, and really enjoyed that, but just wanted to get back into the education area, and was real excited about coaching sports and that kind of thing. So 35 years later is where we're at now. I've been at Georgetown 12 years, just finishing up 12 years. And like I said, all 35 years have been in Escambia County, first as a teacher and a coach, and then progressed into a dean's position and then into administration later in my career. Before coming over to Georgetown.
Okay, and I remember when you came to Georgetown, and we were transitioning from one administration into a part-time administration, and then you guys, did Mr. Brooks start at the same time that you started, or was he, did he come?
Yeah, I started in March of that year, and one of the first things I was told is you're going to be able to hire an assistant principal. At that time, we didn't have one. We had a curriculum coordinator. And so I was real excited about that because I knew that was going to help out a lot with the, you know, just being able to run the school and the duties that an assistant principal can do is pretty much everything a principal can do. So it really helps a principal out to have good assistants with them. And so we were able to hire that summer. So about 3 months later is when we hired Mr. Brooks.
Yeah, I couldn't remember exactly how that came along. And I remember the first time meeting you and as we when we transition, especially administration, into you add that to our school, right? The teachers and faculty, of course, we're nervous a little bit, you know. But I also knew that we had some great things that could happen with that school. I'd been there 2 to 3 years before you came along, so you know I had some little time under my belt. And as you came into the school, I remember that you kind of had to figure us out as well, didn't you? So tell the listeners a little bit about that transition part, how that worked for you and what you were thinking.
Yeah, after 23 years at the high school level and then moving over. Now, I had some experience at a career and technical high school with West Florida High School of Technology as an instructor, but not as an administrator. And so when I came to George Stone, I knew that was, you know, first of all, the whole post-secondary atmosphere as opposed to what we call the K-12 side, kindergarten through 12th grade at the high school level. So that was an adjustment. But also just walking into a place where I'm basically surrounded by career experts in their fields. And so I quickly realized my job here is not to try to tell Stephen Schmidt about boats or one of our other instructors about welding or HVAC or anything. My role here is to be a leader and to provide resources needed so that they can do what they do very well. And so that was kind of the way I looked at approached the position and tried to move forward in that respect.
Yeah, and I appreciate the fact that that's the way you looked at things. And I think this is my thought on things. The administration, in my opinion, can make or break a school. It can be a high school, an elementary school, any school, and especially in our facility. When you come in there and you're seeing what we have going on and you're trying to kind of, I seen what you're kind of sitting back thinking, okay, what, you know, watching everybody kind of do their thing, you know, and just working with that. And I can tell you from my standpoint, you helped me tremendously, and that's what you guys do, and that's what you support us. Yeah. Whether it's with financial things that we need or whether it's conversations, help with things that we have going on with our programs and that kind of stuff, and I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. I'm telling you, it really makes a big difference for me, especially because I was transitioning from different administrations that not necessarily had a good path. You know, we were in between, and you guys came in and changed that, and I appreciate that so much. So when you came in and you were thinking about the school and stuff like that, one of the things that I seen you focus, and you can help me with this, was you were focusing on also getting the word out. I remember that. Talk about that and what you thought about getting the word out to the community about George Stone.
Well, one of the things I remembered is that I taught on that campus, the same campus, for 3 years with West Florida High School, and I didn't know anything about George Stone other than it was a career and technical center at that time, vocational center. And so, you know, I didn't hear a lot about them on the radio. I didn't see billboards. I really didn't know much about it. So one of the things we focused on, and granted, with a limited budget, was, you know, how can we get the word out? So I think some of the things that we've been able to do is, get the word out in the public through the use of radio commercials or posters or what have you. Anytime we had a chance to advertise somewhere at an event, we did that. And one of the things I'm really proud of is the fact that we've been able to get into the high schools. And I think that's where Mr. Brooks and I had a strong connection with the high schools because most of our background was with those people. So they felt comfortable with us being on their campus. They knew we weren't going to try to go out and just, you know, take up the time of their classes and try to just all out recruit their students. We weren't doing that. We were just giving them the message of the opportunities that were available. and how affordable and how valuable those opportunities could be. And so I'm very grateful for the district leadership back when Mr. Thomas was in office all the way up to now with Mr. Leonard. They've been very, very supportive of our mission. They realize we're part of the team. We're all part of the same team. And so we've done events at schools. We've sent counselors over and just set up tables at cafeterias. We've been to parent nights and career fairs. And so we've really worked hard in the high schools, getting that message to them as they approach graduation and start making those decisions. And so that was very important to us. And I think we've done a good job of that. And we're always looking for new ways. And I'm sure the new principal, Mr. Brooks, will continue to take us to new areas and new ideas and make that a dynamic thing moving forward.
Yeah, we need to mention that we did pass the torch to Mr. Brooks. He was our assistant principal. So, right, he's going to be principal now. And you know, we're excited about that as well. And we do look forward to seeing what changes he may make. He may not make a lot, but because things are going pretty good, right?
Right.
So one thing I think about is the fact that when you leave something like a job or a career or something, you always leave it in better shape than you came there, right? And you did that. You've done that, and now we're moving forward, and it's in good shape, and that's the best way for a new principal to start, in my opinion.
That weighed heavily into my decision recently. The fact that we've had just a fantastic year, really the second of two in a row as we've started the complete rebound from the couple of COVID years that made it tough on everyone, and we're back to full classes with waiting lists this past year. Industry certifications obtained by our students went up about 20%, and that's coming off a record year for us. So to go an additional 20% is really exciting. And to see our students getting those industry certifications, getting jobs in the field, completing our programs, I do feel like I'm leaving at a high point, but like you said, also with room for growth.
Right.
And I'm really excited about the direction George Stone's going, and Stephen Brooks at the helm, I think you guys are going to be excited. He's going to have some new ideas, and also I know he'll continue to do the things that worked well for us.
Right.
And so it's an exciting time for workforce education. Thank you, Mike Rowe, and also for George Stone, and we're gonna continue to have a lot of opportunities to serve people in this community, and. It's exciting. It's exciting to see, and it's very rewarding to see the outcomes that we have.
Yeah, it is a call-in show. If you guys have a call or text, you can. If you have a question or comment for Mr. Rollins or myself, 850-437-1620 is the number. Mm-hmm. So don't hesitate to do that. Give us a call or text. We're more than happy to enter you into this conversation. We would love that, you know.
Yeah.
Other questions that I talk about. And what was the most challenging part of the transition when you came into Georgetown? What was challenging for you? If there was anything that was a major challenge, what was that? If you can talk about that a little bit.
I think it was not used to dealing with so many outside organizations that have such an impact on the school. You know, in the high school arena, you're basically part of the school district and you're part of the Department of Education. And that's pretty much as far as you look. Coming into George Stone, you realize you have national organizations, federal organizations, I should say, that are involved. One of the things you have to do every year, the IPEDS, which is the Integrated Post-Secondary Education Data System, you're basically taking data and send it to the federal government. And it's really important. It's tedious work. And Mr. Brooks, along with Jason Tindall, do a great job of getting that together for us every year. Mr. Brooks and I started off doing that when we first came in. That was new and a little scary because you're sending data to the federal government and you want to make sure everything's right. Also dealing with financial aid, Pell Grants, VA benefits. These are things that are really important to students and you got to get it right. And you're also dealing with audits from those agencies. And so everything's got to be in place. And for somebody coming from the K-12 side, that was a little intimidating to begin with. COE, Council on Occupational Education, there are accreditation people, and you know, you got to have everything sent to them yearly. They monitor your job placements, your completions, your licensures, and also they come for accreditation visits. I've been through two of those over the last 12 years, and you know, they'll be back in a few years as they typically do, and they tend to go well, but it's a lot of work preparing for those things. So, yeah, just dealing with all the outside influences that are on the tech colleges, is what makes it different than the K-12 area. But once you get into it and you start to work with people and you realize, we've got the people here to get this done and get it done right, the intimidation factor goes down a little bit, and you start becoming proud to work with those people so that you can show them all the good things that your teachers are doing.
So do you consider yourself, or did you consider yourself, a numbers guy as you came in, or did that kind of happen as you go?
Oh, absolutely. My background's in mathematics.
Okay.
My college degree was in mathematics, and that's what I taught when I taught at the high school level. And so the math part of these things I was comfortable with. It was the conceptual things and making sure I fully understood the expectations of these outside organizations. That was the part that I had to do a lot of homework on.
You know, what I think about when we talk about numbers and stuff, what I started to realize was we talked about numbers a lot. And if there was issues, you would present them to a point of where we felt comfortable with that we can make our changes comfortably, and you gave us options and avenues to make that happen, right? Because you didn't want a program to go on a trigger, we call the trigger, or anything like that, where your numbers aren't good and they're all of a sudden we have a program that's under the microscope, right. So we didn't want that. When I first got there, I worried about the numbers and stuff. That was one of my main worries. Oh, the numbers. I got to make sure I have placement. I make sure I have completions and all this stuff, right? But what I became to realize, and I have a feeling you realize this also, as long as we as teachers, the instructors, do our jobs and do what we, are supposed to do and care about the students and the school, the numbers kind of lay out themselves. Do you think that's true?
Absolutely. And hearing you say that just brought back some memories of the first couple of years and some conversations that I've had with teachers that may have had a program, as you call it, triggered. That's when the COE organization says, hey, your numbers aren't quite up to snuff for this year. If that continues over a period, then we're going to have some issues and wonder if you need to be teaching that program because you're not getting people jobs or you're not getting enough people completed. So I knew that was very stressful on you all as teachers, because a lot of these numbers are out of your hands. We're open to the public. We can't control who walks in the door and wants to do programs. We can try to recommend certain programs that will fit their skills, but at the end of the day, it's their decision. And so some people have gotten into programs that maybe it didn't work out as good as they'd hoped to, and so they would leave the program, and that hurts your completion numbers and that kind of thing. That's just an example. But I've tried to take that off of you guys and let you focus on teaching and doing the things that you just talked about, and we'll keep up with the numbers. You keep doing good things, and good things will happen, and that's turned out to be the case.
I like the good things part. You always ask about good things and you talk about good things. And I think that's important to do that. Instead of talking about bad things all the time, we talk about the good things. And I love Georgetown and everything that happens over. I know you love Georgetown. I know Mr. Brooks loves Georgetown. And I'm very thankful that we have this radio show that we do every Friday, and that's to get the word out about Georgetown. I talk about it all the time on the air. I don't talk about just Marine Service Technology, which is probably, if you're not telling, it's like Yamaha, they say, they won't tell me we're number one, right? They'll tell me we're in the top five. So I got to be in the top five of your favorite programs,
Absolutely.
Absolutely, the top
Absolutely.
Five. So I want to add that in there. One thing, I did get a text a second ago, and you might know who this text is from. I don't know. This person wants to know who your favorite IT person has been through your whole career. So do you have any idea about that, or would you don't even want to mention it, do you?
Well, that's a dangerous place for me to go, because we have some wonderful information technology people on our campus, from Anthony Wiggins, our coordinator, to our instructors, Eric Given, Joe Snyder, Derek Beard, fantastic people. So those would be my top four.
There you go. Mm-hmm. It's a team over there.
Right.
And when you don't have a team in place, things just don't work out if you have a team that don't work well together. And I believe we all work well together. And mm-hmm. that really, that's a benefit to my job and to the students and everybody that comes around Georgetown Tech. So, mm-hmm. I appreciate everything you've been doing the last 12 years. Mm-hmm. So give me a fond memory of Georgetown. Tell me something that, just sticks out there. Maybe it's a couple things, but do you have a fond memory, something that just, at and maybe it sends a tear to your eye? I don't know.
I have many fond memories. The program graduations, the school graduations, those are some of the funnest times when you get to watch our students finish up their programs, knowing that they're going on to an infield job position. Building the aviation maintenance program, which was huge at that time, was a big accomplishment with Bill Davis. We took an old dusty carpentry shop and turned it into a beautiful aviation maintenance facility. I think one of the things that really sticks out, though, is when you had your accident, and I was scared to death because, I mean, once I knew you were okay, I was good on that part, but I was really worried about your program because you are the one that makes that program happen. And I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You're the only teacher in the program. You don't have assistant teachers or things like that. And those students learn so much and you know, value your instruction so much. But I was really so proud. We found a good substitute teacher that was a former major appliance repair teacher for many years at George Stone and in South Florida. Patty McCarthy stepped in and was able to take over the program as far as making sure all the things were in order, taking attendance, make sure all the equipment's up to speed, or letting us know if there's any issues. But the people that came from the industry that stepped up and gave their time, and I don't want to mention names because I'll leave people out, but it was Yamaha and Mercury and those people, and you know these people, the Jeffs and the other fellas.
Right.
It was amazing to me because I started out with about two phone numbers, and the next thing I knew, I had five or six people. Hey, when do you need me? When do you need me? I'll be there. They would come up, and they would give 4, 5, 6 hours sometimes of their time after work to make sure that those students were getting the expertise that you normally provide. And that the program did very well given the circumstances. Obviously, it wasn't where it's at when you're there, but we were able to maintain enrollment. The students were happy. The students were still getting what they needed out of the program. And then, of course, when you came back, everything just kind of went right back into place. And so I was so proud and just amazed by the support that you have from your industry partners. And that says an awful lot about you as an instructor and as a person.
Well, thank you. I didn't want him to bring a tear to my eye.
I know, I was thinking,
I appreciate that. Yeah. I really do. I just, you know. Yeah, thank you. And we have a lot of instructors out there that work hard, and that's what they strive for is a program. They always say when the boss is away, if your business still continues to run, you're a good boss, you know? And maybe that's the same thing about a teacher. If a teacher is away for a few days or a few months, mm-hmm. right, and it continues to run, maybe right. So. I really appreciate that, and thank you. I'm glad that is one of your fond memories, and I appreciate that. You know, that word on that. So thank you so much for that.
Can I get a real quick question in
to
both of you?
Okay.
Gen Z, which is our generation of kids that grew up never knowing what life was like without the internet. So that's that generation there, the 1990s to the 2010s. They're turning towards the trades. There's a huge shift. Kids in that age range are looking to the skilled trades. What does that say to you about the vitality of places like George Stone Technical College?
I can start, I guess. I think kids now have so much access to information, mm-hmm. And so they can hear about those things. Students coming out of high school, I mean, it was a long time ago, but I remember being the same way, thinking, okay, which direction am I going to go?
Right.
Where are their jobs? Where is there a need mm-hmm. and something that I think that I would enjoy doing? So with all the access to information that they have, I think they can make those decisions. And when they get in our programs, and I'll use Marine Service Technologies as an example, I think they're usually surprised at the technology that's used in these career fields. I know Mr. Schmidt utilizes a lot of different technology in his programs, and so these kids coming up now, they have those skills because
right.
they had access to things when at a younger age that we never had access to. Yeah. So they're really good with technology. And when they see that they can incorporate that into these fields where we need them to get the hands-on experience, I think it's really exciting for them and makes them very successful. So if they're out there listening, keep that in mind. There's a lot of technology going on in these workforce programs that you're really going to enjoy. So check us out.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And as we close, I want to say to you, Mr. Rollins, I want you to have the best retirement. I want you to enjoy your grandchildren. I want you to move. I want you to have fun. And when I say move the body. Don't sit on the couch, right? I want you to just have the best retirement that you can have. And then come by and visit us when you get an opportunity. So thanks for being on the show today. It means so much to me.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. More Pensacola expert panel coming up here at 10:35. I'm going to have Frisky Friday, so don't go anywhere. My name is Jake Walker. Stephen Schmidt, thank you so much.